السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا سنة بعد سنته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال تعالى: ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا، يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا، لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر من يخالل، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, undoubtedly Allah Rabbul Izzat through His mercy, Allah Rabbul Izzat through His kindness, Allah Rabbul Izzat through His infinite generosity has blessed us. Allah has made us from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us with iman, and Allah Rabbul Izzat resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Beloved brothers, we know from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that undoubtedly the day of Friday is a very, very auspicious day. And on this day of Jumu'ah, there are sometimes ulama give difference of opinion. Some say it's before Maghrib Salah, some say it's during the two khutubat. Whatever the time is, however, all are unanimous that it is the day wherein du'as are accepted. And generally, it is our understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and kindness on the ummah is such that when we lift up our hands and we make du'a to Allah Rabbul Izzat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as. It is our humble request and humble appeal that when we make dua, we keep in mind the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beloved brothers, first and foremost, we beg of Allah Rabbul Izzat to forgive our sins. We beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate us. And we beg of Allah Rabbul Izzat to bring good conditions in the entire world. Sometimes we may not be able to physically help a person. We may not be able to be there emotionally for a person. However, what we can do, and most definitely it is not something small, it is something very, very great, because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages this, to make dua for our Muslim brothers. Dua bi dhahril ghaib. To make dua in the absence of our brothers and our sisters in the different parts of the world, in the different countries, in our own country, etc. To beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat bring good conditions. If you have to look and if you have to analyze the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then undoubtedly the book of Allah Rabbul Izzat is complete in every single regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran Kareem to this particular ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a guide, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically explained to us with regards to the injunctions of Quran. We find that the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so complete that one is the laws, the aspect of ahkamat, etc. If you look in the Quran, Quran has even taught us how to function socially, on a social level, as a nation, as a community, as an individual, right down to the individual. Quran has explained to us how to function. And there's many, many aspects that we can discuss, but particularly for today, we want to look at this aspect that Quran covers very, very thoroughly, and that is with regards to the company that we keep, with regards to our associates, with regards to our friends, with regards to even those people from whom we take our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, people of iman, ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wakunu ma'as-sadiqeen, and keep the company of the righteous people. Keep company of those people who are Allah fearing. Keep company of those people who have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of them. You see, if we have to study and if we have to analyze human nature, then we can all understand fully well that we function like this either we are influential or we are influenced. One of the two. You find within human nature, you get two types of people generally. Either a person who is an influential person, his direction, his mindset, his thoughts, generally people take effect on it and they are either guided by it or they are led astray by it. Or you find that you are a person who is influenced and you look at society at large, in every corner you go, the business world has taken advantage of this, so to say, that through advertisement, through the channels of advertisement, etc., be it written media, be it pictorial media, whatever the case may be, but that aspect of human nature, people are well aware of it, and generally it's used to the benefit that either they will try and influence the minds of people, or they will try and influence the thoughts of people, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously is our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our sustainer, Allah knows mankind the best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weaknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our strengths. So on this accord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us that keep company of good people, because generally you'll find that all of us at some point are influenced by those around us. Our line of thinking, our thought processes, our likes, where we like to visit, what we like to do, generally according to your associates, according to the people that you intermingle with, that is how you will think, that is how you will interact. And if you take it on a higher level, more importantly, who we take our deen from. Very importantly is to see who we take our deen from and the type of people that we keep and whose company we keep with regards to taking our deen. See, on the lighter side of things, the one person he used to keep company with, one particular sheikh, you know. So he used to say, and he was taken aback, and he used to say that, you know, my sheikh is so pious, and my murid is so, oh, sorry, my peer is so pious, this is the person I keep company with, that he don't look at no woman. Any woman comes inside of him, he turns his gaze away. And then he goes on to explain also, that, you know, one day I was sitting with the Hazrat, and there was a knock on the door. The Hazrat went to open the door, and there was two ladies there. He took his lungi and covered his face, astaghfirullah. So sometimes you have to look at it, you have to analyze it, and you have to see properly who we're taking our deen from. So Nabi Sazam said, "Ar-rajulu ala deeni khalilihi," a person is upon the way, upon the millat, upon the deen of his friends. So falyanzur, look properly, make proper search, think carefully, ponder over this matter, see who I'm befriending, see who I'm taking my deen from. And we see it in society many a times. You'll find a person makes a decision, or a person says something, or a person interacts in a certain way, and he knows 100% he's doing the wrong thing, or he knows he's going in the wrong direction, but out of fear of peer pressure, and don't think that peer pressure is restricted to those 15-year-olds that are on the ground, or those 15-year-olds that are in the school grounds, etc. Peer pressure we've seen even within adults, even within people who are of elderly age, because everybody is making a decision in a certain way, I also have to do that. In the 19 juz of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a very pertinent incident, something that we can ponder over. And really, the beauty of Quran mesmerizes us. One ayat of Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens it up to us, this is why true are the words of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. How true are the words of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he said, "When I wish to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I perform salah. When I wish to converse with my Allah, I perform salah. And when I wish for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak to me, when I wish to hear the message of my Allah, then I read Quran." Because this is a direct message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the commentary of this verse, the ulama have written that the reason for revelation, or the incident behind the revelation of this particular surah, or these particular verses. However, before I give you the incident, the ulama, the mufassirin, bring our attention to one particular point, and they say that there is one important principle with regards to Quran, that is al-ibratu li-umumil al-faz, la bi-khususil mawarid. Simply what it means is this, that the lesson to be taken in every ayat of Quran is general. And the lesson is for everybody, for every time, for every generation, for every single individual, for every single human being, whether he hails from whichever country he may hail from, the message and the lesson of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change. Though there may be certain incidents that particular ayat is linked with, however, the lesson will always be general. Meaning that the lesson and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be for everybody. Here also, there's an incident behind it, but the lesson that we can take, we can equate it to this day and age, and we can also take lesson from it. There was an individual, these verses are in the 19 juz of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the day of Qiyamah. So our acquaintances, our friendships, the people who we keep close to, this will have an effect on our akhirat also. Very importantly, respected friends, let us keep this in mind, that this will have an effect on our akhirat as well. Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمْ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll see that zalim oppressor, he'll be biting his hands, he'll be chewing at his hands, and he'll be lamenting and he'll be saying, why did I not follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How could I be so stupid? How could I be so foolish? Why did I leave the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Oh, I'm finished. I'm destroyed. My destruction. How could I follow that foolish person? How could I follow that fulan? How could I follow that foolish person? Look what he's done to me. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. The Quran came to me. The message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me. He took me away. He led me astray. Today this is where I find myself, that I'm engulfed in the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did I have to make such a foolish judgment? Such error of judgment. How could I follow this foolish person? What was the incident? It was a person by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'it. So he was one of the leaders of Makkah. He was one of the wealthy people of Makkatul Mukarramah. And it was his way, it was his methodology, or it was his tartib, whichever way you want to call it. When he would return from a journey, then he would throw a very, very big dawat. He would invite all the people of the town. The who's who of the town would be invited. And they would come and partake of meals at his home. So this was a social gathering. And obviously he was showing his financial might. And he was showing that he is now the businessman of the area. And it was a source of honor for him that the big people of the town attend. And if anybody who was of status, anybody of some social standing didn't attend, this would affect him very, very greatly. Because obviously, imagine so-and-so didn't come to my dawat. I mean, or so-and-so was at my dawat. You can understand how it would enhance his profile. So he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and previously Rasulullah had also attended his gatherings. So he invites Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, he says to him, listen, I'll partake of your meals on one condition, that you recite the shahada and you bear testimony that I am the final Nabi, and undoubtedly Allah has no partners. So he said, no, you eat. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I will eat on this condition. I will eat on this condition. Sometimes, just to digress, the ulama say that sometimes you'll accept a person's dawat bisharti shay, that you'll say, I'll accept your dawat with this condition. Example, you have this particular dish on your dastarkhan, then I'll come. Or bishart la shay, that I will accept your dawat on condition you don't put this on your dastarkhan. Or la bisharti shay, unconditionally by, I'll come. Whatever you tell me, however you tell me, whatever you put, whatever you don't put, butter bread, whatever it is, I'm a simpleton, call me, I'll come and I'll partake of your dawat. So eventually he recites the shahadat. He recites the shahadat. So Ubay bin Khalaf, who was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got news and he got wind of it. Now brothers, just see how many times this happens to us in society as well. How many times we fall into the same dilemma. You know, as I say, sometimes you're between a rock and a hard place. What do you do? How many times a man is faced? What decision do I make? So Ubay bin Khalaf, when he meets him, he says, yes, you've defected. You've gone away from the religion of your forefathers. I see now you're also joining the ranks of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, no, listen, it's not like that. I'm still what I am. But the man was at my house. He's a man of influence. He put a condition that he'll only eat if I accept his message. So I didn't want to cause a stir. I didn't want to cause an embarrassment. So I accepted. He said, no, I don't accept. He says, you accepted, but I don't accept. If you're true to me as a friend, if you accept me, Ubay bin Khalaf, as your friend, then prove to me your worth. Prove to me that my friendship to you means something. You go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you spit at his Mubarak face and you denounce Islam and you disgrace Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, this is a person he's calling a friend. So this foolish kambakhat admi goes, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all in the name of pleasing his friend, all in the name of keeping this one foolish individual happy. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He disgraces Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he spits at the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, that your death will come at my hands. Your death will come at my hands. They say after that the man never slept. After that he never had chain in his life. Some riwayat say also that that spit came back, a spit of his that he tried to spit at the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it came back and burnt his face. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that this foolish individual on the day of Qiyamah will be biting his hands. وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمْ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Then how could I be so foolish? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me. He put it in front of me. He explained to me what was haq. I had accepted the message. And on account of my friend, يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. How foolish was I? Look at how destroyed I am. Look at my condition today, that I had to take this foolish individual to be my friend. This person has led me astray. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that let us not be caught in this trap. Sometimes a person wants to make a certain decision in his life. He's caught between halal and haram. He's caught between right and wrong. Which direction does he take? Does he go in this direction? Does he go in the direction of his friends? This is why ulama say, keep the company of the righteous. Allah has commanded us, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Keep the company of the pious. Keep the company of those people who will keep our train on track. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that, O Nabi of Allah, whose company should we keep? Or what should we look for in a person when we want to keep company with that particular person? O kama qal, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib writes this in Ma'riful Quran under the commentary of this verse. He says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to this effect that keep company of a person who you find three qualities in him. Three qualities. Man dhakarakum billahi ru'yatahu. That person, when you see him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, keep this in mind. You keep the company of a person, when you see this individual, and there's many like that, alhamdulillah. There's many people, Allah has blessed our world with many people like that. Good people, good akhlaq people, people of good character, people of sound dealings, people who are truthful. Nabi Sallam said, when you see this person, man dhakarakum billahi ru'yatahu, that when you see him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. And when he speaks, your knowledge increases. When he speaks such things that your knowledge increases. مَنْ ذَكَرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And when you see his actions, you remember the akhirat. Three things to look for in an individual. Nabi Sassam said, that look for such a quality in a person that when you see him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he speaks, your knowledge increases. And when you see his actions, you remember the akhirat. With respected brothers and elders, on an even higher and a more important note, one is with regards to our dunya, and more importantly with regards to our akhirat. This is why the famous saying goes, that neem hakim khatre jaan, neem mullah khatre iman. When a person finds a doctor who doesn't know his sabak, he doesn't know whether to administer what type of medication, there's a problem for you, your life is at stake. And if you find an alim, or you find a person who's going to guide you, but he doesn't know what guidance to give you, and he's going to take you away from your deen. In this day and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us in our country. Allah has blessed us with ulama-i Rabbani. Allah has blessed us with ulama who are undoubtedly people of sunnah. Undoubtedly people who have taqwa. When we're looking for company, we need to find these type of people, beloved friends. The reason being, many, many people in this day and age, many, many people are being led astray because of masla masail being taken from the wrong type of person. The entire iman is at stake. Taking deen from the wrong type of people. Nabi Sassam says that arajulu ala deeni khalilihi, that you are upon the millat, you are upon the way of your friend. Be careful, see who you keep as a friend. Why? If you take your deen, especially your deen, you take it from the wrong individual, then you can land yourself in hot water. You can land yourself in big problems. See, people generally learn things when it's put to them in a light way. So there was this person, and he was keeping company with the so-called alim, or the so-called learned person, etc. And he used to come home, and every day he used to give the wife different sabak, know, generally they say that the best sheikh you can ever have is your wife, but she'll tell you the true color of the day. She'll tell you exactly how it is. So he used to come home and give his wife a whole lot of sabak. She used to say, no man, something's wrong. You are coming back with a whole lot of stories. I want to meet this Hazrat of yours. Every day you got in a different Masla Masail we never heard in our life, you telling us. So one day he told his wife, you know, I was walking with the Hazrat, and Hazrat made one loud sound and he gave one kick. So he wondered what happened. So he said, no, he was walking and there was dog there by the Kaaba Sharif. So he just chased the dog away. So he said, no man, my husband, something wrong. I need to sort these people out. So she told her husband, okay, what you do, you call your Hazrat and all your murids and everybody will come, have a nice seacha, have a sit, come, I'll give you all a meal. So she calls him and she prepares a feast. So for everybody, she puts a lovely plate of rice and a nice chicken. And for the Hazrat, she just puts a big piece of, you know, just only a big platter full of rice. So now he got upset. He said, I'm the guest of honor. I'm the man of the moment. Everybody got chicken and rice. I only got rice. So she came from the kitchen. She heard the story. She gave him one hit with a champal. She said, you can see dogs everywhere else in the world. You can't see the chicken is under the rice. So khair, respected brothers and elders, ulama say, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran, kunu ma'as saliqin. Keep the company of the righteous. Keep the company of the pious. When you will keep the company of the righteous and the pious, our akhirat, and the example of that is like the example of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look for good qualities, especially more so from the people that we're going to take our deen. From the people that are going to surround us. Those people that are going to be, we're going to be in daily contact with. This may seem like something light, but think about it. Those people that are in your inner circle, those people that are going to guide you, those people that you're going to take mashura from. Sometimes you're taking mashura, you're taking guidance from people, not realizing that you're taking guidance from them, because you're influenced by them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the shining example of how to interact with one another. Those people you take to be your friend, how you interact with them. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made hijrat, then there were three of them, him and two other friends. So they made a pact, and they said that in the morning we will meet at a certain place. And from the three of us, whoever is not there, then we'll regard it that so-and-so had been held back by the kuffar of Makkah, and for some reason he cannot make it. And the rest, those whoever are present, they will continue with the journey. So in the morning, from the three of them, one got held back, and there was only two of them. It was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and another sahabi. So they met, and then they realized that, look, probably our friend, our companion, he couldn't make it, he got left behind. Let us continue with our journey. So as these people are continuing with the journey, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and this other sahabi, the kuffar of Makkah came and they intercepted them and they wanted to take his friend back to Makkah Mukarrama. And what they said to him, they said, listen, we need to take you back. Your mother is very, very sick. We want you to come with us. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to his friend, he said to his companion, he said, listen, these people are lying to you. These people are being foolish. They're trying to take you away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't fall for the trick. Don't go with them. Then he said, no, you know what, I'm thinking. Now also he got cold feet. And he said, you know what, I'm thinking, let me rather go with them. I got some money matters. I need to sort out some of my dealings in Makkah. Let me go sort it out, see to my mother, and I'll make hijrat again. Umar radiallahu told him, listen, once you go with them, there's no coming back. Mafhum of the riwayat. The riwayat is in Hayatul Sahaba. He said, no coming back. Once you go with them, they'll never give you the opportunity to come back. Once you go with them, finished. So he persisted. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, listen, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with wealth. Don't go with them. Come with me to Madinah Munawwara. I take my wealth, I divide it in half. 50% is mine, and 50% of what I own is yours. This was Amirul Mu'mineen. This was the qualities that Allah Ta'ala had seen in him. These were the qualities that made him and gave him that position of Amirul Mu'mineen. So he said, no, Umar, I want to go, let me go, my mother, my wealth, and he continued. Eventually, Umar said to him, okay, fine. If you're still persistent and you feel you have to go, and there's no way out for you, and you want to go, and you want to go back to Makkah Mukarramah, do me one favor, take my conveyance. I have a camel that is much faster than yours. My conveyance is a quicker conveyance. Take my conveyance. In the interim, if you're traveling, and you see that there's something is not right, something is not adding up, then at least you got a vehicle or you got a mode of transport that you can get away from them very, very quickly. This is a swift animal. And he gives him his animal. When they go, eventually, there's two of them, they overpower this third person. and they're taking him back to Makkah Mukarramah, and eventually after the torture and whatever happens, he falls out of the fold of Islam. He falls out of the fold of Islam. Now look at Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and his concern for his friend, his concern for his companion. He looked at the bigger picture. He gave him such sort of counsel. He gave him such sort of advice. He looked at everything. And eventually when he saw the man doesn't want to budge, himself with his personal wealth, he came to the assistance of his friend. Now after some time, and this is the point to understand, this was a true friend who had akhirat of his friend in mind. That after some time, when news had reached him that his friend had become murtad and his friend had come out of the fold of Islam, and the verses were revealed, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my slaves who have wronged themselves, O my slaves who have harmed yourself, do not become despondent from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. Umar radiallahu ta'ala takes these verses of Quran, he writes it in a letter, and he sends these verses of Quran to his friend, inviting his friend once again, saying to his friend that, look, you have made a mistake. For whatever reason, you've come out of the fold of Islam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that there is a way back for you as well. There is hope for you. When this person reads it, he becomes ecstatic, he becomes happy, and he remembers that Umar has remembered me. He recites the Shahada, and he comes back to Madinah Munawwara, and he joins the ranks of the Muslim. So, beloved friends, remember that insan by nature, we are influenced or we are influential. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us that kunu ma'as sadiqeen, keep the company of the righteous people, keep the company of the truthful people, keep the company of the pious, and never let it be that we make such decisions in our life that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah we have to bite our hands in the regret. Let us look, let us analyze. Many people will say many things. Many people will tell you sometimes, many a times it happens, you're having an argument with your friend, or you have an argument with your brother, and one person in your circle says, no, go give it to him, bhai, give it to him. I'll sometimes think, must I act on that information, or must I think, wait, analyze the situation, take some mashara from some ulama, take some mashara from some of the elderly people of the town, take some guidance. End of the day, respected brothers and elders, let us not make decision because of our association, because of our associates, because of our friends, because of our company, such decision that tomorrow is going to come back to bite us on the day of Qiyamah. Or not just bite us, we're going to be biting our hands in regret. And the advices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the tongue of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the three qualities we look for in an individual. And three qualities, one is to look for in an individual, and the other is we try and bring these qualities in our life. That one is, when you look at an individual, when you see him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and keep company of those type of people. When you see him, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person speaks, your knowledge increases. He's speaking such things that are beneficial for you. And the third thing is, when you see his actions, then you remember the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.